محمدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها من النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بلقاء أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم، روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العطاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال المقتحم. يا رب بلغ بالمصطفى مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. وقال تعالى: لقد كان لكم فيهم أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر ومن يتولى فإن الله غني حميد. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. First things first, trying to indicate in the footsteps of our elders, our Dada Shaykh Hadrat Mawlana Shah Abrar bin Haqsar rahmatullah alayh, on one occasion had to make bayan, and when he sat on the chair, it was torn. So he says, in your houses, will you ever tolerate a torn chair like this? In the same way, our Shaykh Hadrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Adhamullah, who used to also make bayan, and the condition of the chair was quite poor. So he said, in your houses for yourself, you keep proper furniture. And for the sardines of deen, those who are serving deen, you put torn and broken things for them. So this poor chair also, once a handle is missing. So perhaps it happened only today, there wasn't time to replace it. But in our house, even if it happened today, will the wife ever allow it to stay like that? The wife, yeah, the masjid got no wife to control the masjid. Otherwise, the wives keep our houses very properly. And our businesses also, we make sure everything is properly. The house of Allah is supposed to be the greatest. And whoever honors the house of Allah, Allah will honor that person. So in every way, mashallah, Allah's fazl generally in the world. South Africa also, masjids are maintained very well. The cleanliness of the wuzukhana, the toilets, everything. We should maintain all this. This is very important, the house. This is, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. These are shi'ar of Allah Ta'ala. And how much we give them respect and honor, Allah says, فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Those people have got taqwa. So we should always try and keep this in mind. Our masjids, everything should be in order, should be in place, inshallah. Our Shaykh Adamullah Fuyudahum, Arif Billah, Rumi of our time, Mujaddid of this era, and Tabriz Ithani, says before every bayan, make muzakra, discuss one sunnat of Hadrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Really, if we can understand Allah put it in our hearts, if we come on to sunnats, the deen with its power will become alive. Like that, it will be just like there will be deen, but the force and power which Allah Ta'ala has put in deen. Hadrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri rahmatullah alayhi explained that by one sign of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his finger, he split the moon in two. So much power there was. And that same power is when in At-Tahiyyat we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And we lift up our finger and we put it down. That same power is in there also. In other words, sunnah has got great, great power. One person, I'm forgetting his name now, very many years ago, when telephones had just started still and it was still through the exchange system.
Saudi Arabia also, they produce the telephones, and they called an engineer from Pakistan. I think his name was Arshad. He came and he put up the whole telephone system in Saudi. Anyway, he went to Japan in those years. How long ago? And that time there were no masjid also. Today, mashallah, throughout the world, Allah in His kindness has spread masajid everywhere. So they stayed in a Buddhist temple. They asked permission. That person gave them permission. No problem. You are man of God, man of Allah. You want to do work of God. You stay here. How much? He said, no money. You stay here free. In about the third day, he accepted Islam also. He saw their amal, their practices, everything. And his whole family also accepted Islam. Then he told them, I'm sure you want to know why, what made me accept Islam. He says, I will tell you. But before I tell you, let me tell you something else. Say, we as Buddhists, what do you do?
Yogi.
All that. He says, we acquire great powers through this. He says, I would like to show you my power. In your Jamaat, the Jamaat that was there, the one who is the strongest physically also, mentally also, tell him to stand at the wall and face the wall. And then I will drop him down. So they chose one person who was the strongest, he faced, and through the efforts, mujahada, what they had made and what powers they had acquired, he dropped him immediately down. Then he said, but I have seen that there is nothing, this is nothing compared to the power which is in the sunnats of your first lifestyle. The sunnats of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And seeing the power of sunnats and that how many years of riyazat and mujahadat we made, we had trained and we had practiced, and this power that we had gained, that I saw in this few 1-2 days, I saw what power there is in sunnat. May Allah let us understand this. We don't really realize. In about 1979 or so, we were invited and we met a priest from France, Abdul Rahim, most probably was his name. Old man, he was about 80 that time. And he had accepted Islam. And little background, before he accepted Islam, he loved Islam and Muslims so much, he wasn't a Muslim, he built a church, a masjid for the Muslims. And he gave it to them to make it, because he loved the ibadat of the Muslims. But unfortunately, when he gave them the keys, they started fighting amongst themselves, who must be president, secretary, treasurer. He saw no ibadat, they only fighting there. He took the keys away. He said, I will build a masjid and give you the keys for all this. I love your ibadat, that's why. Anyway, he had become a Muslim. He gave us three very, very pertinent and important advices in writing when we were there with him. One, he said that your azans, never ever give up your azans. We say, you people, they're trying to show the power of sunnah. He said, you people as Muslims, you take it for granted. You don't realize the value of it. We as outsiders, and in Christians there are a lot, the Quran testifies that their eyes flow in the love of Allah Ta'ala, the tears flow. There are a lot of them who are genuine Christians, though they are on batil, but they have love of Allah Ta'ala. And so he said that your azans have a great effect on us. So wherever you are, call out your azans, whether it's at the airport, whether it's by the roadside, garages, wherever, from your masjids, azans are there, from everywhere your adhan. Secondly, he said, this dressing of yours. He says, you don't realize what effect this dressing, the sunnah dressing has got. But he says, on us, it has a tremendous effect, this dressing of yours. There are so many instances, I remember, when I just returned from India, and in our house, in Germiston I was, we didn't want to keep a maid to work, so I wanted to buy washing machine, etc., dishwasher, for my wife to make her work easy. And in those days, few people had dishwashers or washing machines, but I was keen that to make her work easy and that we don't keep a maid. So on one Friday, I went to Germiston town to go and buy the washing machine, to go and have a look. I went into one shop, and there were two elderly white women, church women, like nuns or something like that, church women they were. And when I entered, I didn't bath still, it was a Friday morning, I didn't change my clothes. Usually on a Friday after you bath, you change clothes, you shine, you look nice. Like this I haven't done. But they were so overtaken, actually they were like making tawaf around me. And they were saying, oh, how beautiful this dress is. Where is this dress? It has an effect. It has like the, it's like godly dressing, just man of Allah Ta'ala. And it has a tremendous effect. And there are so many instances like this. So he said, your dressing never give it up. The third, he said, your namazes. Always make your namaz in a public place. Today, most of us are happy in our short-sightedness that at our airport, our temple, every airport in the world, practically, they've got a special place for Muslims to make their namaz. The actual reason for this is they want to hide the da'wat of our namaz. And you can do it privately. Before, when we used to do it anywhere, it was namaz time, there was no special place, we just did it. Everyone sees, and we don't realize the discipline which is in Islam. Like now we made Maghrib namaz, how many of us? And there are so wealthy people here, people with academic careers and degrees, etc. But behind Maulana, one Allahu Akbar, everyone fastens his. One Allahu Akbar, everyone goes. More than military discipline we have been taught in our deen, in our namaz. The whole of namaz we have been taught such a way. So this namazes, if we make them in public places, it has got a great attraction. Sunnah's power, we don't realize. It has got great, great power, the sunnahs. So may Allah give us tawfiq to bring sunnahs in every action of ours. And what great power and effect it will have. With regard to this one thing which is a bit more than sunnah also, which is a farz of Allah Ta'ala, for women to cover their faces. One Arab woman, Muslim woman, young girl, who was a cashier in a supermarket in Paris, in France. In her line, her customers, four or five customers were standing. There was one lady with niqab also after the government had died. So when she came to pay, this Arab Muslim woman told her that we got enough problems here in France. Everyone said we got enough problems in our country. And the government has banned wearing of the niqab. So why are you wearing it and making more problems for us? Obey the rules of the government. And if you want to practice your religion, then go to your country. And practice it freely there, whichever country you come from. In front of her, she lifted her niqab. She was a local French woman, white, blue-eyed. And what she told her, you sold your religion, we bought your religion. This effect, what an effect. This was like a slap in the face for that girl. That this a revert Muslim. And she is telling me this, and I'm a born Muslim. And I gave her wrong advice, and see what she's got to tell me. Sunnats and practicing on deen has got great, great power. May Allah give us the understanding and tawfiq in every action of ours there to bring sunnats into our lives. With regard to the talk of tonight, it is about our whole life. We should try and bring sunnats into our lives. In the first ayat that I recited, Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala, you have got a perfect example, a perfect model. But for who will it appeal to? This is important. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ. That person who has hope of Allah, who has got contact, iman on Allah. Like for example, if you have a student who wants to become an engineer, and if he by mistake lands up in a medical college, all that lecture is not going to mean anything to him. Because he doesn't want to become a doctor, he wants to become an engineer. They're talking all about other things here, it means nothing to him. So the first, before we can even understand the value of sunnah, first we must have that iman on Allah. That we want to please Allah Ta'ala. That person will want to follow sunnahs. If a person doesn't want to please Allah, that means if he hasn't got his proper iman on Allah Ta'ala. If he hasn't got iman, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ. And the day, the akhirah. Just to digress a little, but to stress this point. Today, ask ourselves really, have I made an intention? Why am I in this world? What is my purpose? Why am I here in this world? Have we ever thought of it? How many of years of our lives have passed? But why am I here in this world? What have I come here for? And if we analyze it now, think of it, that am I here to live my life. We know a famous saying, don't eat to live. Don't live to eat, eat to live. We are not living because we want to eat. We eat because we have to live. We need strength in our body. So our eating is not the object. So don't make eating your object. Make your living your object, and to live you have to eat. So what is our object of life? Why are we here? Why are we here in this world? And this is for all, whether we are ulama, whether we are imams, we are teaching in Darul Ulooms, in madrasas, we are doing jamaat work, we are doing khanka work, everything. But ask ourselves seriously, or later, at tonight, tomorrow, anytime, take out time and think for yourself, why am I here? What is my object of life? If I haven't established an object in my life, that means we are just moving around aimlessly. We got no direction, we got no purpose in life. We haven't fixed an intention. And if we have made an intention subconsciously, then what is that? In most cases we will find that intention is our dunya. That I must live, I must have a nice house, nice car, live nicely, nice good income, etc. My health must be good, that we are worried. And the proof of that we can see, little bit my health, I feel little chest pains, for example. Or I feel I'm getting tired very quickly. Or anything else, I'm getting too tired, my eyes are getting blurred. Afternoon, I'm tired. Sugar, go to the doctor, test it, and we take the treatment immediately. Did anyone of us ever think of my spiritual diseases? That have I got some spiritual diseases, and treatment for my spiritual diseases? I'm not regular with my fajr, I'm lazy for my fajr, for all my five namazes, how many of us are lazy? My eyes are not in control, my anger is not in control, how I treat my wife, and I don't appreciate, many, many things like that. Those are also, if we have little chest pain, we make sure we go and sort it out, we will find out. But these problems that we have got, did we ever think? So it shows that we haven't made deen our object stuff. Dunya is our object, our health, our dunya, my income. If a person just fears, I'm going to get fired, I'm going to lose my shop, in his my business, lose my job. My business just going down few days, the sales are not so good. How worried a person gets. But my namaz is not so good. Who of us gets worried about that? Or my tilawat, I'm missing out so many days. Who of us gets worried? So how many of us have made an intention? And if subconsciously we have made an intention, in most cases it is dunya also. It isn't. And if it is, like for example, it is deen. That I want, I'm subduing a God, running a God. But am I running it for Allah's pleasure? Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayhi, one of his students came, and many times Maulana should say this, that Maulana opened the Darul Ulum, I opened the madrasa. Maulana should ask him, you opened the madrasa or you opened the shop? Many times Darul Ulum is also a source of income. It isn't really for the sake of deen. So we have to really analyze ourselves, that what are we doing? Is it really for deen? Many of us are going for Umrah every year. But for what is the Umrah every year? Is it just for that name that every year I go for Umrah? Every year I give my chilla in Jamaat, I give it in Khanqa. But for what am I giving it? Is it to please Allah? For Qaha have written this masala to this extent, that when we make our namaz and it is not in our mind that it is a faraz of Allah on me, and I'm fulfilling that faraz of Allah. I'm just making four rakat Isha namaz, making four rakat Zohar namaz, but not realizing that it's a faraz due to pressure, that I'm a maulana, I have to make my namazes, but not realize, not thinking it's Allah's command that I'm fulfilling. Just that I'm a maulana, I have to make, I'm a tablighi, I'm a khalqahi, I'm a sufi, so I have to make namaz. Or under the pressure, my wife will take me to task if she finds out I didn't go for namaz. Or the husband will take the wife to task or something. Or the ustaz in a madrasa. But so that object, have we fixed it? If a person is driving around, he doesn't know where he's going and why he's driving, he's just driving around, burning petrol all the time. So he's a mad person, he hasn't fixed an intention that where I want to go to. So our destination, what is our object? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. That must be that to please Allah Ta'ala. In everything, is this going to please Allah or not? That must be foremost on in our mind. And my akhirah. Today, because akhirah is not in front of us, we just want house, we want nice car. We don't think of my qabr, what is going to happen there. So that is very, very important. So that person will make Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his model in life. That person who has got akhirat in mind, who has got Allah in mind. And if we haven't got Allah and akhirat in mind, we won't make Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam model. Then soccer, some star, he'll be more important to us. Film star will be more important. Some singer will be more important. And we see our youth, our woman folk generally, the fashions that they go after, the fashion of sunnah is not so. But ask them any other fashion, brand names of cosmetics, etc., of clothing, etc., how well they know all that. But sunnah, then we are lost. Ask our youngsters. They tell you that in the cricket team, these members have been selected. This one has been dropped. He has been dropped because of this reason. This is the best wicket keeper. That's the best goalkeeper. All that they will know. But ask them about sunnats, about deen, about sahaba. We haven't made this our object. It's not our object in life. Dunya is our object. We know about computers. What and what don't we know? And how don't we operate the computers and the programs and everything? But when it comes into deen, dunya mein teri akal kya kar gayi? What hasn't your brain achieved in this world? Lekin dunya, lekin deen mein wo kahan mar gayi? But when you come to matters of deen, then where is your brains? Why they gone dead? Why they not operating and working in the matters of deen? Dunya matters, by the sense we work out things, prophets, etc. These small, fine details, we keep everything in mind. But in deen matters, big. How many years we making namaz? Who of us are conscious that is my takbirah tahreema according to sunnah? Is my ruku according to sunnah? Who know the sunnahs of namaz? Is my wuzu according to sunnah? But the adhan, generally most of our masajid, adhans are not according to sunnah. We are ulama sitting here. We are the mutawallis. We are muftis. But nobody speaks a thing, and which is done so loudly and over the mic, and it's not according to sunnah. And we just all pass by, we don't take any notice. Takbir in most cases is not according, and how many of us even have got the knowledge of iqama according to sunnah, how should iqama be? Because things don't appeal to us. So it will be for those people who have fixed their object of life, I want to please Allah. And my object in my akhirat must be made. My akhirat must not be destroyed. And that is quite clear. Dunya is temporary. For how long is dunya? Akhirat is eternal. Forever and ever will be akhirat. So a person who is not worried of that eternal life, for the short life of this dunya, we want to do everything. Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi rahmatullah alayh, and one other very important point that we should take note, as I'm saying, he was a doctor. But just see when he kept company of Ahlullah, Allah wa'ala, he was a murid and then the senior, one of the senior khalifas of Hazrat Maulana Thani rahmatullah alayh. A doctor can also shine in me. It's not you have to be a Maulana, you have to be a Hafiz. You can be a doctor, but sohbat of Ahlullah will make you shine out so much. So one beautiful poem he said, Qadam su'e marqad. That my feet are facing the qabr. In other words, I'm walking to my qabristan, to my qabr. I'm going to my death. I'm walking to my death. Nazar su'e dunya. But my eyes are facing dunya, the opposite direction. I'm going to my qabr, but I'm looking at the path. Kidar ja raha hai, kidar dekh raha hai. Where are you going? Where are you looking? Like we know, small children, 2-year-olds, they like to play chasing. They chase one another. And in the chasing games of them, they run wide, this side, that side. How many times do they bend their head against the door? 2 boys bend their heads against one another. These things commonly happen because they don't see where we are going. They're running wildly and they are looking in the opposite direction. So, hamara bachpan aaya, we have become 55, lekin abhi hamara bachpan nahi. But our childhood hasn't gone still. We also, we are walking towards qabr. Every minute that is passing, we are going closer to our qabr. Every hour, every day, we are going closer and closer to our qabr. And where are we looking? What investment can I make? What more business can I make? What bigger house can I make? Renovations in my house, changing curtains, changing carpets, dunya's what? And dunya is going at the back. Every minute that we are passing, dunya is going behind me. Every minute, akhirat is coming closer in front of me. So we are going to qabr and we are preparing for dunya. So a person who lives like this, how can he, a person who turns his head 90 degrees, that also is not right, but a person who turns his head 180 degrees if it is possible, and you are looking at the back and you are going 180 kilometers per hour in front, what will happen? Maulana Imam al-Hassan Sahib rahmatullah alayh, somebody was taking him to Heathrow Airport in London. Some people had got a habit when he was driving, looking around everywhere all the time. Like some people driving habits they got, when they turn this side, they also turn like this. You don't have to turn, you turn the steering the car, when you turn this side, they also turn like this. Or if there's the overtaking and the gap is a bit narrow, then they also go front like this. Or they gave a sharp break, they go back like this. Okay? So you don't have to do all that. So this driver had a habit of looking around. So Maulana Imam al-Hassan Sahib rahmatullah alayh told him, just pull up on this side. When he pulled up, he said, now look around as much as you want. But when you drive, concentrate on the road. So we are driving to Aachen. And we are driving at high speed. And we are looking at the back. And what is happening at the back? This investment of mine, that investment, that shop, that to a business, that bank balance, etc. And we are going to the Qabr. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every person in his world has got, there are three partners. A person might think, I got no partners in my life, in my business, I'm a sole proprietor, sole owner, I got no partner. But look at the ulum of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the one partner in your wealth is what you are spending for your needs, etc. And most of us, the most people of the world, whatever we are earning, we're spending in our daily needs. Our rentals, our payments, our groceries, water, lights, and all these things we are spending. So one part of our money goes in there. The other part of your money is when you die and what you're going to leave behind. That's also not yours. That is your inheritance. Whoever is going to inherit from you, your wife, your children, that goes to them. That's not yours also. What is yours is what you have sent for the akhirah. That is what is yours. This is a reality. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained it. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't be the smallest shareholder in your own wealth. That is your money, and what you have eaten goes to the toilet. What you have worn becomes old, you throw it in the dustbin. Your cars go to scrap yards. So all that is left in here and it goes to all this, nothing is off. And what you leave for your inheritors, that goes to them. That's not yours also. What is yours, what you have sent for the akhirah? So don't be the smallest shareholder, that what was for your akhirah, you didn't do anything. Ask mazeret, forgiveness, if it offends anyone. But see, in the apartheid government, the white government, they were ruling the country and they made so many homelands for the Botswana and the Venda and how many other homelands they made. They gave them everyone homeland, but they didn't make a homeland for themselves. Now if the government is out of their hand, it's not their government, now they're crying for a homeland. We want in the Free State this place, that place, we want a homeland of our own. So when it was this, they didn't live. But these people, we say they were Bura. And the Quran says, Sharif says, Kana Qawman Bura. And Bura means stupid people. They were stupid, they hate the government, they hate the rights. They could make their own homeland, they didn't make it. So let us not be more stupid. That now our government is in existence, our life is here, make our homeland of Akhirah. When we die, then our government has come to an end. And if we don't make our homeland of Akhirah, our Jannat of Akhirah, then we are more stupid also. So Allah has given us the opportunity now, so make our homeland of Akhirah. So that is, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ. And then, to come to that, Al-Quran has got tarteed in it. How will we come to that to make Akhirah our object? وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Those who will make Allah dhikr and dhikr in abundance. Not only, there are three levels of dhikr. One level of dhikr is that وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. There are those people who remember Allah. The first is those people who don't remember Allah Ta'ala at all. فَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهَ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِ فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Those people whose hearts are hard, that they don't make Allah zikr at all. And these, who are those people? The kafirs. I hope inshallah there is nobody amongst us who are such that we don't make no zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Allah has described this as the quality of the kuffar, of the non-believers. They don't remember Allah Ta'ala. Let us not be similar to them in any way. Then there is another group, لا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا مذبذبين بين ذلك لا إلى هؤلاء ولا إلى هؤلاء. The munafiqeen. Let us not be amongst those also who make only little zikr. When it suits us, when we're in a mood, when there is an environment, halqa of zikr, we make zikr. Otherwise, no zikr of Allah Ta'ala. And the mu'mineen are those people, يذكرون الله ذكرا كثيرا, who make zikr in abundance. And together with that, وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. This is a sign of the iman of a person that he remembers Allah. A person who has got iman and knows the qudrat and power of Allah. A person who has found the love of Allah. It's only natural he's going to remember Allah. Imagine you taking delivery of your top of the series Mercedes Benz. Monday morning you're going to take delivery. You'll be, how much won't your garage will be prepared? You might be putting seven sheet carpet for your Mercedes which is going to come. Your mind is all the time thinking, my Mercedes is. It's natural. You love it. It's coming. A boy who's getting married and he doesn't think about his bride and he doesn't think about his marriage day. How can that be possible? You have to tell him not to pay attention to your work. Your wife will come. Don't worry about it. She's not going anywhere. But you see to your work here. But his mind is there all the time. Why is it we don't think of Allah? So much so we come to the house of Allah. We are called by the most beautiful da'wah to Dhamma, Azan. We come to the house but we don't think of Allah. We are engaged in direct talk with Allah Ta'ala. Like you go to an office, you are waiting in a waiting room. After that, now your time has come, they called you in to speak to whoever you had to go and speak. And you still don't think of that person. Your mind is somewhere else. When we are in direct communion with Allah, with namaz, still we don't think of Allah Ta'ala. So what is so that is when that will come with the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. Dhikr dhakir ko mazkur tak pahuncha jata hai. Zikr makes the person who is making dhikr, the dhakir, to reach his object who he is remembering. Continuously you will make dhikr, you will reach Allah Ta'ala. But dhikr also we have to learn how to make dhikr. If we're just making it on our own, how many people make zikr? Our Shaykh says, whole life people make zikr, but they don't get the benefit of zikr. For example, a person is making zikr when he's feeling very sleepy. That is not quality time, but the time that is now like for sleep. And many make zikr a sleeping period. So they're just sleeping away during the zikr. And they say, we made zikr. How is that zikr? La ilaha. And they fall asleep. There's no Allah. And they fall asleep. And we forget to say illallah. Again when they wake up, la ilaha. Again they fall asleep. What kind of zikr is that? All the time you're saying there's no Allah. And you're thinking, you're fooling yourself, I'm making zikr. Allahu Akbar. There is another subject which will come also. But let us not fool ourselves that I'm in deen. Hey, like for example, juices we all drink, apple juice, mango juice, pomegranate juice, very healthy. Pomegranate, good for the body. Grape juice, very good. Apple juice, very good. But we were in Karachi, Maulana Mazhar Sahib explained to us one person who's got a juice factory. He told Maulana, this is nothing but just water. Plain water, just the essence, synthetic essence we put, and now, then you realize, whole life I was spending so much money on pomegranate juice, on grape juice, but I was just drinking colored flavored water. Okay? So like this, it must not happen. Whole life I think I'm in deen. In the qabr we found out, oh, you were just in the picture of deen. You were just thinking you were in deen. Okay? And we thinking we are making our deposits, but when our bank statement will come out in the qabr, no deposits came yet. Our namazas were not correct. Our ikhlas was not correct. Pride came into us. We made ghibat about people. We earned and we deposited in other people's account. When we go into the qabr, yes, sir, monthly you can check the statement. When we fight there and argue that I make this deposit, yes, my deposit slip. Where's that? I don't see it yet. So all that, we must not fool ourselves. It must not happen in the qabr. They say no deposits came here. Hey, and only debits, you make payments all the time. We are making gunas and no credits, no istighfar we make. Which bank manager is going to allow you just to draw checks all the time? And you are not making any deposits. By Allah, we are making payments, we are making gunas all the time. And no deposits, no istighfar, no ibadah. And even if we are making, what's the quality of? So very, very important, let us not fool ourselves and think that we are in deen, and when the time comes, we find out that we are not in deen. While we are on that, let me mention this also, it might help somebody, mashallah, it has helped many people. Since I heard from our Shaykh Dawud Barakatuh, that a great, great scholar like Hadrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani, rahmatullah Ali, said, to shave your beard completely is a big guna, and to make your beard the extent of one rice grain less than what it's supposed to be, both gunas are exactly the same. So there are many people, learned people, who have got beards, but they're not according to how it should be. So that guna is like you shaving your beard. You go in the qabr that I had a beard, and there the report will come, you had no beard. So just briefly on that, the beard has to be one first length from the bottom of the chin. That is how my beard, not from here below your lip, then it will be very short. And don't call your 2-year-old child and tell him, my baby, I want to trim my beard, I want to see if it's a first length. And your 2-year-old child, baby's first you take and you measure. No, it must be your own first. And it will be a little bit more for safety's sake. And from all, and this is according to all four mazhabs, not only Hanafi mazhab, all four mazhabs. Then from this side here also, it must be a first length. Don't let it be more than a first. And Allah shukr, our beards don't grow like this. Otherwise, we should go to our wives like this. How should we? They should run from their heads. There's a beast, an animal that's coming, or who's coming here? So Allah made it that it doesn't grow like that. But when we trim it, there is a first length. That is the length, the area it has to cover. In Urdu, Gujarati, we say dari. Dari is from dhar. Dhar, the lower jaw. In Arabic, lahyatun. Lahya is the lower jaw. So if you open your mouth and you feel your lower jaw, all that area has to be covered. Then that is what is called a beard. So that area. Or to make it easy to understand, where your lips meet to the front of your side jaw. That all that area. What is on your cheek is not part of the beard. You want to keep it, no problem. Our Shaykh said, remove just the hair from the cheek. Give your wife landing rights. She wants to land the cheek, kiss on your cheek, so at least remove that hair. Otherwise, where must she land her kiss? She no landing strip she has got. So remove the hair from your cheeks. So that is how the beard must be. And if it is, now some people, we keep a French beard. Our Shaykh says it very beautifully. Don't worry of being up to date. That you keep a little French beard, a pencil line, or like the Arabs keep beards, they cover the area, but not the first length, just they cover the area. That is also wrong. So if you were people with beards, you fit in that company, because you got a beard. And when you were people without beards, you fit in there, because it's a fashion beard. So you are staying up to date everywhere you're fitting in. So don't worry about that. Be worry about your expiry date. In the qabr, if you have to be asked, that our Shaykh says, if Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to ask us, oh my ummati, the Sikhs, the Sardarjis, they don't cut their hair at all. And they just curl it in, even the beards. In America, Europe, they fight court cases to serve in the military, in the traffic department, police department, and they say it's our right, human right, that we can keep our beard, our religious right, and they win those cases. So if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those people fought court cases to follow their Guru Nanak, you, what fault did you find in my sunnah that you could not make your face according to my sunnah? What answer will we have? Also our Shaykh Ramad Barakatuh says, don't become advanced Jannat. Jannat, nobody will have beards. بقيت الدنيا هي أمتي. They have the beard according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then yeah, a question arises that if the beard was beautiful, then it had to be in Jannah, all beautiful things. And if beard is not beautiful, it would not have been a sunnah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every sunnah has got jamal, beauty. So it seems to be a contradiction that if beard was beautiful, it had to be in Jannah also. If it's not beautiful, it shouldn't have been a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The answer to that is a body which is given in Hidayah, the Kitab of Fiqh. We don't appreciate our Hanafi Fiqh and the Fiqh of the Aimmah. What great Fiqh! It isn't only what we think dry Fiqh, but what is contained in it. In there this answer is given, that a boy, when he becomes 15 years of old age, generally, he becomes baligh. But at that age, his beard doesn't come out. His beard comes out at the age of about 17, 16 and a half, 17. Then his beard comes out. So the people of Jannah will enter Jannah and they'll be just baligh. And then they'll never grow older. Had they grown older another year, 2 years, then their beard should have come out. But they will remain forever at that age. So the age of the beard coming out won't come to them. That's why there won't be beards in Jannah. So anyway, don't worry of being advanced Jannati, be an ummati. So in any case, whether it is our deen, whether it's our beard, whether the kurtas we are wearing, make sure that they fit into the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we are wearing kurtas or anything else, and it's not sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're going to have big problems with that. So don't let us fool with ourselves, with our own labels. I hate to give this example, but it's only an example. Coca-Cola, and why I hate it? Because it is through and through poison for the health of a person. But if you have a bottle of Coca-Cola and you fill black vinegar in it, and the title is Coca-Cola, will it make it Coca-Cola? No. You got your sugar bound and written also sugar, but you put salt in it. It's not going to help. It's not sugar, it's salt. So name Islam and Muhammad and Yusuf and Amina and Khadija, but inside, the way of the West, the love of their lifestyle, everything. So don't fool ourselves just by my name, I'm a Muslim. But what is inside is going to count. And at the time of maut, وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, what is in your heart is going to come out. Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Panalpuri rahmatullah alayhi used to give this example. If you have a parrot and you taught it beautiful adhan, salam, zikr, whatever, and it sees it all the time under normal conditions, but someday it came in the claws of the cat or the dog, it forgets, it goes blank. And it forgets all the beautiful zikr and salam, and its original words which are in its heart tape recorded and embedded, there, only that will come out. Now you tell it to read zikr and make salam, it won't. So if our kalima is only on our tongue, it's only in our mind, we haven't embedded it in the heart. At the time of maut, which is a very crucial time, at that time it must not happen that kalima doesn't come on our tongue. And so many instances are recorded that at the time of maut, the person was told over and over, read kalima, but he was saying some other things at that time. So it is a very dangerous, and the real life is the akhirah. So in order, a person will make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala in abundance. That and he does, our Shaykh says, let me complete that some people whole life make zikr but they don't get the benefit because of two main conditions. One is they don't make zikr regularly. Now and then when they feel like when everything is in order, then they make zikr. Otherwise no zikr. The other is they don't make ashiqana zikr, zikr with love. To give you an example of that, your wife's name is, for example, Fatima. And you, to make her zikr, to make her happy, you say 100 times a day, Fatima, 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 half sleepy, fine, Fatima, Fatima. She'll give you one slap also. But one time you tell her, Fatima, with love and with tarannum and with tune, how happy won't you? So Allah's name, those who make zikr of Allah, with love, they take Allah's name. Not to finish numbers 100 times, La ilaha illallah, 100 times Allah, just to finish numbers they make zikr. And what about us who don't even make zikr? Okay, so a person who will make zikr, akhirat will become his object. Allah will become his object. For that person, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life will be a perfect model. Otherwise, it's not going to appeal to him, the life of the model of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dunya says, all this film star, and that soccer player, and that cricket player, how many of us, good namaz is tahajjud guzar, we can't miss our commentary. We can't miss the scores which are happening. This tournament, that tournament, this score. Good ulama sitting in the wuzu khana. They're going to be making imamat and talking about the scores now. Allahu Akbar. What to say? One, there was a mutawalli in Surat in India, Gujarat, from where most of us come. He was a mutawalli of a number of masjids. So he should make his namaz in different masjids in order to see whether the imam is there. Towels are right, wuzu khana, toilets are clean. So one imam, he was making namaz behind him, and the imam made, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Who's got you? Immediately after, what score? Who made a six? Who got rolled out? What happened there? How many wickets gone? He motivally said, before you get your score, you fire. What kind of namaz you make your whole namaz in cricket in score? That who won and who got pulled out and what happened there? That is our condition today. So if that is our condition for such a person, the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam won't appeal to him. For him, dunya's things are more important. So that is the one ayah. The other ayah, Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِيهِمْ لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِيهِمْ Uswatul Hasan, in them all the Anbiya alayhi salam. Rasul sallallahu imam al-Anbiya. But all the Rasuls in their lifestyle, you have a perfect example. Again, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ Who have made Allah as their object. We have made akhirah as an object. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ And a person who doesn't want to do that, akhirah is not his object. And Allah is not his object. And so he doesn't follow the ways of the Anbiya, the ways of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ Allah is not in need of him. Allah is not in need of the ibadat of any single person. Allah is independent. And Allah is full of praises as he is. Not if we're going to make ibadat, Allah is going to be great and Allah's honor is going to be great and increase. Allah is not in need of any ibadat of any person. No Nabi, no Wali, no Farishta makes Allah's ibadat. Allah is as great as he is. Our ibadah doesn't increase the grandeur and the beauty and the honor of Allah in the least, but Allah is as he is. If we do, it is for our own benefit. We're going to get the benefit. So we have to follow in that way. And also, let us not fool ourselves. Many of us, I got topi, beard, kurta, I'm in sunnat, I'm in deen. And those people who don't wear that, those people are out of deen. They got no deen in them. Our women, those who got burqa, whatever it can be a cloak with all embroidery work and all designs in it. They are happy, I'm in parda. But what kind of parda? What is parda? It mustn't be that I'm drinking juice all the time and I'm thinking I'm drinking the original thing and I'm going to get the benefit. It's just the name of a parda. It's not even parda. So let us not fool ourselves with this thing. Sunnat is not only two or three things. To bring our life according to sunnat, tell me Allah Akbar. One person told Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayh, that 10 years I'm staying in your service, in your khidmat, in your sohbat, I'm leaving now, I'm going. Why? He said, I can see no karamat in you. Well, that is what we are after. Shaitan has fooled us. Good people, pious people, we who are counted as ulama, if we hear a certain person is flying in the air, oh great, but a fly flies in the air. So a fly, if you say, Mr. Fly, make me bayat, you are a very great buzur. You fly in the air. Flying in the air is no karamat whatsoever. Walking on the water is no karamat whatsoever. So he told Hazrat Hassan Basri, I haven't seen any karamat. Hazrat Hassan Basri asked him, how long are you staying with me? 10 years. In the 10 years you saw me doing one thing against sunnah. He said, that I never saw. In fact, I never saw you being unmindful of Allah for 1 second also. He says, Zalim, person, what greater karamat do you want? This is karamat to be istiqamat. Istiqamat for the alpha karamat. That more greater than thousands of what we think as karamat is to have steadfastness on deen. So to bring the whole of deen. Our community, generally, Indian community by nature is a business community. We don't have to go and study business management and all that. And all these things are just all hoax things also. You have so many financial advisors. What they give you advice? How to invest your money, etc. If they had so much know-how, why don't they become rich and become? They come to work for us before you. If they knew how to make money, the moment they come and tell you, they will make all the money. It's all just one big hoax. All this fortune tellers, gypsies, telling the world's fortune. If they knew fortune, they should, for their own selves, they shouldn't be gypsies living in Sharon and Zakaria. They should have become so rich people and top people. But we fall for all these things. All this business management courses and all this. Hey, a PhD, Allahu Akbar. Once, many years ago, somebody had sent some parcel from Zimbabwe to us and wrapped it in newspaper. It was wrapped in those pages of the newspaper where there were letters to the editor. In there, a non-Muslim Zimbabwean woman wrote a letter. And she said, I'm a proud PhD. And what did she mean by PhD? Permanent house dweller. And a non-Muslim. And she fought the case for a woman, the best place, a non-Muslim woman, is to be in the house. And she says, I'm a proud PhD. So that is what is the true PhD. Otherwise, the other PhD, permanent head damage. That is what these people are. And what is the permanent head damage? Those who got PhDs in what and what things. For example, there isn't time to go into more. But they have got one theory, the Big Bang Theory. And what is the Big Bang Theory? That the whole world came into existence with one Big Bang that took place. And it came into perfect, everything fell into place perfectly. This one glass, if I drop it here on the table, on the carpet, it might break. On the carpet it might not break, but normally if you drop it on concrete, cement, tiles, it will break. And it will be a small bang. So with a small bang, will the glass be made or will it break? Everyone will know it will break. It's not going to get made. And this, they say, a huge, huge, huge bang took place and everything fell into place perfectly. If a person just has to think, Allah, one drop of blood in the human body travels 100,000 kilometers in one day. Up and down all the time, into the lower ventricle of the heart, to the top, into the lungs, the breathing system of the lungs that are working, the purifying system, the filter Allah has kept in the nose, the hair filters the air. Allah has kept the air con in the hair, in the nose. Not too hot air must go in, not too cold air, otherwise you get sick. That air, oxygen goes, and then in the lungs, it takes out the carbon dioxide. We breathe out, carbon dioxide. We breathe in, oxygen. That blood gets purified into the top ventricle on the left side, down to the bottom, back in the body, and continue. You can be fast asleep, you can be resting, you can be running a marathon. This blood is moving. If it stops moving 1 second, our traffic, how much noise we got for the road, how many traffic officers, how lot of encouragement that don't speed, don't drink and drive, all these things that there are. But in spite of that, every day endless accidents are taking place. The carnage of the road is not only on December, that time they say how many accidents. Almost throughout the year so many accidents and people are dying and getting killed all the time. If this year you live in one beautiful Arabic saying, if somebody can find it, I'll appreciate it very much. We were with Arabs in a Jamaat. One Arab said it, those words were very beautiful. If you hear somebody is still living, then you must be shocked and amazed that still he's living. That how can he be still living? Imagine this blood that is moving, your nervous system, your digestive system, your brains that are working, your pancreas, your lungs, your every part, and you're still living, it's still working till now. It's a miracle. If you hear somebody die, it should have been nature. But today it's the opposite. If just now we hear that we are eating with somebody now, lunch, supper time, and the person, we say, just now I was sitting with him. We were talking to him. How could he have died? It's surprising. But to hear somebody is still living should be surprising. And to hear somebody has died should be natural, because there are so many chances of what going wrong. One blood, it plots one place. There you got a brain, your brain, you got a stroke, you got paralyzed. Or you've got a heart attack, and a heart attack is nothing so dangerous. Heart attack is huge. How many people get 10 heart attacks? This is getting on, no problem. But one heart attack and you are finished. Hey, all these things. Your pancreas just makes a little bit less insulin or something. It's a problem. A little bit less of this, more of that. It's a problem. That your person is 80 years, 90 years old. Even if you were but sickly weak, it's a miracle that the greatest proof of the existence and the qudrat of Allah is not out of you, O insan, wafi anfusikum afala tubsirun. If you look within yourself, you have to see Allah. But we haven't taken the trouble of opening the eyes of the heart. We see everything in the world. We see haram things, but we can't see Allah. One person, Hadisat in Makkah Sharif, told our Shaykh, that these Indonesians, normally young, they come for Hajj when they are young. And all, a whole big group, and they wear that white muknas of that, burqas of that. So he says, this Indonesian woman, how beautiful, how much nur on their face. They look so cute, like kabutri, he said, kabutri. Like regions, like nuts they look. Our Shaykh said, Haji Sahab, Toba, Toba, you couldn't see nur on Kaaba, Shaykh. You couldn't see nur on so many big Allah wala, with the big beard. Only place you could see nur was on their face. So our eyes are so converted that we can't get the proper taste of in making Allah zikr, no enjoyment we get. Tilawat of Quran Sharif, we let force ourselves. It's like a duty. No enjoyment. But look at other women and see what enjoyment. Go on there. Because we are sick, sick, sick. That's why our taste also is gone. Like a person got temperature 105, 108. He doesn't enjoy. He doesn't want to see samosas and pies. He's a sick person. Take the juice away. I can't see food. You have one teaspoon of soup. No, no, I don't. I can't have it. He's a sick person. Let him become healthy. Now you'll have to stop middle of the night and go and open the fridge. And he wants to eat this and he wants to eat that. A nightcap now and this now. But you can't eat so much. It's unhealthy. You can't sleep with a full stomach like this. Because he's healthy. He's looking for food. We are sick. So anyway, our whole lifestyle, we can bring it according to Sunnah. And this is one great other benefit of Sunnah. Our whole life becomes ibadat. That's what I said, if we make our niyat after the pleasure of Allah. See, as I said, we are normally business people. 8 hours a day we spend in business, physically, practically. But a businessman, our Shaykh says, business means, the word business has been made busyness. Busy means to be busy. Ness means all your nerves. Every nerve is busy. That is a businessman. All the time he's thinking of his business. Not only his 8 hours in his shop. When driving home, he's thinking. You'll see him making a note, tomorrow I must order this goods. That person hasn't paid me, I've forgotten, I must make a note, I must collect my money. If he's eating, he's thinking, Allahu Akbar. Our Shaykh, Ta'amat Barakatum, said, Amana Muhammad Umar Safanin Puri, Rahmatullahi, said, a person who's got like a button factory. He doesn't mean that he won't go for Hajj. He'll go for Hajj also. He doesn't mean he won't get his daughter married, son, daughter he'll get. But when he'll go for Hajj, he'll see the orders in his factory. When the orders are very high in that, he say, no, this year, 5 years I can't go. After that, there is a quiet period in my business, then I'll go for Hajj. Daughter's married, no, we can't make it now. We are very busy in the factory. When the factory is not so busy, we keep the nikah at that time. So all the time, all his decisions are according to his factory business. He goes for Hajj also, he's in ihram. But he's looking, his eyes on everyone's kurtas buttons. That what can I export with my buttons here? Have I got a market here? Have I got a market there? Or where can I import from here? These buttons look very nice. And you can import them. What's the price? Cheaper than what I can manufacture them. I can import them from. So his mind is on that. So that's a businessman. But if we do our business according to Sunnah, our whole 8 hours, and in fact 24 hours will become ibadah. And we will be in the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. If we just bring sunnahs, we understand the value of sunnah. For example, sunnahs, one hadith of doing business is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if somebody buys goods from you, and he comes and he returns it, which is called a transaction of iqala. That is, you return his goods, you return his money, you accept his goods again. Allah will set your neck free, Allah will set you free on the day of Qiyamah of all your responsibilities. One Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu heard this, he opened a masjid, a business at the doorstep of Masjid Nabawi.
He was doing a very, very good business.
6 months passed, he closed his shop. Somebody told him, but why are you doing so good business? Not one of your namazes are missed with Takbir-e Ula. You are right here in the masjid.
He said, I wasn't doing business for business sake.
I was waiting for a day that a customer will come and tell me that I bought this goods, I'm not happy, or whatever. I want to return this goods, and happily the shopkeeper takes it back. Allah set him free on the day of. Today, a customer came and he did this, and I closed my shop. So they were not doing business for the sake of business. Islam that spread in Java, Indonesia, Malaysia, how did it spread? Businessmen who went there did business how Islam taught business, with honesty and with keeping the needs of the people in mind. Not to put up prices when there's a shortage of commodities, etc. Or not to hold goods back till the prices go up, etc. But they looked at the needs of the people. Those areas still today we know they are known as Muslim countries. It was the businessmen that had when the local business, which is happening in our country, when the local business people, their business was taken away. These foreigners that have come, and they are controlling, they have got the monopoly of the business. So the government said, yes, we have to look after our local businessmen. And these people must go out. Then the customers, the ordinary public, they said, before you take them out, you'll have to take us out. We, there's a dominated dilemma. Our part of our people are saying, get rid of them. Part of our own people say, no, we want them, you can't get rid of them. When they found out that they were doing business, Islam, a doctor in his surgery, a businessman in his business, if we do Islam business according to Islam, it is our markaz of Dawat and Tabligh, that business. That surgery is a markaz of Dawat and Tabligh. One good friend of ours in Gatherons, when I explained this, he told me, he had made it a law in his business that any customer comes back with anything, accept it and give him back his money. On a Saturday morning, a woman came who had bought a radio from his shop. She came, she said, I don't want the radio, if you can give my money back. So the assistant who was serving her, he went to him in the office and he told his guy, he said, but you know the law of our business, anyone comes back, he said, but you can see the signs of usage on this. It's not a new thing or something. He said, but it's all right, give it to her. Give her the money, let her go. She went out on the steps of the shop, crying loud on Saturday morning, busy, busy place. And she's telling everyone, if you ever buy anywhere, only buy from this businessman. This day isn't a better businessman, there isn't a better man. Where can you get better advertisement? But we mustn't do it for dunya's benefit. Do it for Allah's pleasure. She said, where can you get a better man than this? And so this is if we do, but, and today our shops, many shops we go, clear goods once bought, they will not be accepted again. Cannot be returned. And without exaggeration, go to proper Jewish shops. And there it's written, you want to return your goods, we will gladly accept it again. What was our things? The enemy has taken. And we have forgotten who we are. One person was sleeping and he always had a shawl on his head. And he was recognized by that. Like some people, every time they got that. So one of his friend who was playing fools with him, took it and he wore it. When he woke up, he said, you have become me. Where have I gone? Today this is our condition. The West, they have taken our teachings. And we have forgotten our own teachings. So this is important, that our business, we do it according to Islamic principles. That business will be, and in that, don't do it for the sake of barakat, but you will be shocked in that in sunnah, how much barakat Allah will give if we do our businesses. And the object of business, to serve the needs of the people. Not don't make your object to make money. Make your object to serve the needs of the people. And to serve them in a polite way, in a nice way with the people. And where possible, give them da'wah of Islam also. Even if you don't give them open da'wah of Islam. But your way that you do your business, you conduct yourself, your akhlaq, your character. In that also, our Sheikh Dawud Barakatuh says, one of the greatest economic policies of the Islam is that employ only male workers. According to the West, and by law of government, you have to employ females. certain percentage has to be females. So that is how they do. But what Hazrat explained, see, if you have employed a husband and a wife, a man and a woman, so the husband is is earning livelihood for that family. The wife is also earning double income in that family. That wife that is earning, she has displaced one man. That house, no income. They are without income. And this house is getting double income. So if you employ only men, then every house, this is one great system of Islam, where there will be a fair distribution of the wealth in the whole community, in all the people. And the housewife, she looks at her, looks at after the house. And also don't be bluffed with the woman going out to work that they are earning. It is just, like for example, they make you toy for big more wages. And then they take that way money away from you. It doesn't stay by you. Now with cell phone all the time. Now with lotto all the time. Now with leaka all the time. That money doesn't stay in your pocket. They make you earn more, but they know how to take it away. So they make a woman earn, and then they take it away. All her fashion dressing, when she goes out and she has to be in a work environment, she has to be dressed like that. If she's at home, she doesn't have to dress like that. She has, and now she has to have her children. Has to be given over to somebody else, to a nursery or somewhere where they were. She could have looked after her own children. And nobody can give the love to the children and give that what is inside the mother to the child. Only the mother can do that. The maid or anyone can never do that. And the greatest thing, the first smile of the child, the first step the child takes, that maid saw it. Some of the nanny saw it. The mother, the father don't see those things. You have lost what great treasures and joys of your life. So Islamic system, so if the man will end, and then again, this woman, they have to come, all painted dollies, dressed up, and endlessly, who doesn't know, almost every boss has got an affair with his secretary. Every, how many, good, big business people got caught up in all these things, and their houses got destroyed, their marriages got destroyed. So Islamic principles, if we bring it in our homes, in our businesses, in everything we do, and it comes in the hadith, At-tajiru as-sadiq, a businessman who does his business correctly, honestly, will be with the Anbiya, with Siddiqeen, with Shuhada, with Saliheen. Imagine, not your tahajjud is being referred to, what a deen Allah has given us. A perfect deen of Islam. That your business, you do it according to deen, you do it according to sunnah, and that will put you with the Anbiya in the akhirah. Hey, when our business will be in the correct way. So may Allah give us tawfiq to understand the value of the lifestyle of Islam and the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As much as we haven't understood, I can vouch and say the enemies have understood the value of Islam. That is why they're trying to remove one sunnah from our lives. They know the value of sunnah, and in whichever way, the miswak, replace it with the toothbrush. And whatever else, so many other examples, everything they have replaced it with something else. Because they know this ummah, Allahu Akbar. I hope I finish on this point now. One very good friend of ours, Hafiz Ahmad Sadiq Desai of Peter Management. Maybe easily now, 12, 15 years ago, he knows that how much I advise to wear what, according to our conviction, the sunnah kurta, that is with the slits on the side and just over the knees. So he's very, very passionate about the Palestine issue. I don't know now, but every year he takes a group to Palestine. So he came back, it was after Ramzan, and immediately phoned me. He said, Maulana, I just returned back from Palestine. I went with a group of 28 people. And every day, the first day we went to Baitul Muqaddas, the Jewish army, police who are there, guarding. The second day, out of 28, they singled me out. And then they interrogated me. So the third day, I told them, I want to ask you a question, but don't lock me up. They said, no problem, and don't beat me up. They said, no problem, what's your question? He said, we come 28 people, why you only single me out and you only interrogate me? The Jewish army man, what did he say? Look at your kurta. He says, you are the wearing sunnat kurta, we got a problem with the people who are in sunnat. Those people who are in fashion, we got no problem with them. We got a problem with those, they know the power of sunnat. And that is why they are trying their utmost to remove sunnahs. so much so that influenced the Arabs that to keep a Jew beard is a Jewish custom. If you can see the Arab general life, the sunnahs are out of their life. They don't look at, be fooled with one or two people. But if you go and see their lives, their girls, their women folk, their youngsters, you'll cry blood of tears what they've done with them. Because they know that take out sunnahs from their life, and these people are a dead people. Just like a lion, the picture of a lion is a dead thing. You can do whatever you want to. A live lion, that is one that is live. Muslim is one who has got sunnahs. And a Muslim without sunnahs in his life is dead. And then all the azab, what we call, which come on, we cry what is happening in Syria today. Really, if we think of it, we cannot take it. What is happening in Palestine? What they are doing with the Muslims in Afghanistan, in Iraq, everywhere. The cause of, and Allah's help is with sunnah. If we got sunnahs, Allah's help will be with us. If we haven't got sunnahs, Allah's help is also drawn and taken away. Allah loves His Nabi, loves the ways of His Nabi. Whoever will follow that, Allah will love him. And whoever will go against that ways, Allah Ta'ala hasn't got time for that person. So may Allah give us tawfiq to understand in our businesses, in everything, in our married lives, treat our wives, husband and wife relationship according to sunnah. Everything, and wallah, I can promise you, you will find peace of mind, contentment of heart, respect and honor Allah will give you. Your needs, without earning, Allah will fulfill your needs. And such needs that you cannot imagine, that, but you haven't, you're not earning, but Allah is fulfilling your needs. Allah will give a sunnah that God tell you by Allah Ta'ala. Tomorrow's program, Fajr will be?
Mackenzie Park.
Juma will be?
Lakefield,
inshallah.
Mawlana Ahmad Sahib, zikr, zikr. Mawlana Ahmad Sahib.
No?
Jaisa Hazrat bata.
Achha. Thik hai. Mawlana Ahmad, aye. Zikr kawai. And inshallah, the end of Rabiul Awwal, 8, 9 and 10 of February, we'll be having an Islahi Jalsa in Darul Uloom, and it will be all just what we have been discussing to try and bring it into us. The more we're going to listen and with the niyat of practicing, Allah will be, and inshallah, great ulama are coming from overseas also, our great ulama of the country will be present. There will be an environment of noor and barakah. Come and take part in it. It will be only beneficial, inshallah. The previous jalsas also, those who attended, all said what great benefit they had got from it. So from Juma on the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th till Zohar, inshallah, try and attend the programs. There will be great, great benefit for everyone. Allah give us all profit.
اے میرے دادا اے میرے مالک اے میرے مولا اے میرے والی شہنشاہ تو عالم تو ہے سب سے تیری سرکار ہے عالی شان تیری ہر حال نئی ہے گاہ جمالی گاہ جلالی وہ بھی عجب خوش وقت ہے جس نے قلب میں تیری یاد بسا لی شغل میرا بس اب تو الہی شام و سحر ہو اللہ 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 لیتے بیٹھے چلتے پھرتے آت پہر ہو اللہ 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 قصب میں دنیا ہی کے راہ میں دین کی دولت کچھ نہ کمائی وقت یوں ہی بیکار گزارا عمر یوں ہی غفلت میں گوائی خلق میں سب سے میں ہی برا ہوں کوئی نہیں ہے مجھ میں بنائی مجھ سا کوئی برکار نہ ہوگا کون سی میں نے کی نہ برائی شغل میرا بس اب تو الہی شام و سحر ہو اللہ 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 اللہ, اللہ, اللہ Allah, 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 lete bete chalte firte aat pehar ho Allah, 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 vikal ki ab توفیق ہو یا رب کام کا یہ ناکام ہو تیرا قلب میں ہر دم یاد ہو تیری لب پہ ہمیشہ نام ہو تیرا تجھ سے بہت رہتا ہے گریزا اب دل وحشی رام ہو تیرا مجھ کو اب استقلال عطا کر پختہ بس اب یہ خام ہو تیرا شغل میرا بس اب جو الہی شام و سحر ہو اللہ 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 لیتے بیٹھے چلتے پھرتے آت پہر ہو اللہ 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 وکل تیرا کر کر کے الہی دور کروں میں دل کی سیاہی شور کے حبے مالی و جاہی اب جو کروں بس فقر میں شاہی شام و سحر ہے شغل منانی میرے گناہیں لاموت نانی کس سے کہوں میں اپنی تباہی تو ہی میری کر پشت پناہی شغل میرا بس اب جو الہی شام و سحر ہو اللہ 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 لیتے بیٹھے چلتے پھرتے نعت پہر ہو اللہ 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 نفس کے شر سے مجھ کو بچا لے اے میرے اللہ اے میرے اللہ بن جائے غم سے مجھ کو چورا لے اے میرے اللہ اے میرے اللہ سن میرے نالے سن میرے نالے اے میرے اللہ اے میرے اللہ اپنا بنا لے اپنا بنا لے اے میرے اللہ اے میرے اللہ شغل میرا بس اب تو الہی شام و سحر ہو اللہ 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 لیتے بیٹھے چلتے پھرتے آج پہر ہو اللہ 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 اپنی رضا میں مجھ کو مٹا دے اے میرے اللہ اے میرے اللہ کر دے پنا سب میرے ارادے اے میرے اللہ اے میرے اللہ جام محبت اپنا پلا دے اے میرے اللہ اے میرے اللہ دل میں میرے یار اپنی رچا دے اے میرے اللہ اے میرے اللہ شغل میرا بس اب تو الہی شام و سحر ہو اللہ 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 بیٹے بیٹے چلتے پھرتے آج پہر ہو اللہ 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 ذات ہے تیری سب سے نرالی شان ہے تیری فہم سے عالی اس کو تیری وحدت ہے مشاہد جس کا ہے دل اغیار سے خالی تیرے شواہد بحروں بر کر دونوں زمین ایام و لیالی ذرہ ذرہ قطرہ قطرہ پتا پتا ڈالی ڈالی شعلہ میرا بس اب تو الہی شام و سحر ہو اللہ 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 لیتے بیٹے چلتے پھرتے آت پہر ہو اللہ 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 اپنا مجھے مجذوب بنا لے تیرا ہی سودا ہو میرے سر میں تیری محبت ہو رگوں پہ میں جان میں تن میں دل میں جگر میں شاد رہوں میں رنج و خوشی میں سود و زیاں میں نفع و ضرر میں فرق نہ دیکھوں شاہ و گدا میں در و صدف میں لعل و گوہر میں شغل میرا بس اب تو الہی شام و سحر ہو اللہ 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 لیتے بیٹھے چلتے پھرتے آج پہر ہو اللہ 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 ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يبلغنا إلى حبك اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا وأهلنا ومن المال البارد ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم والله make yourself our master and objector in life. O Allah, make us understand that you deserve to be our objector. Grant us understanding that after it deserves to be our objector. Grant us love for sunnah. O Allah, grant us the ability to practice upon sunnah. O Allah, grant us special connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant us the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant us the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant us the respect of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. True Iman of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tawfeeq of following every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And O Allah, grant us the tawfeeq of making durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Continuously and constantly. Grant us tawfeeq of visiting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Deenam Prabhupada over and over and over again. O Allah, grant us your closeness, grant us wada. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka min nabiyyika Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
الذي يستعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان عليك البلاء، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله.